So we decided this wanted this part to be a little more informal. And so Cece and I are just going to kind of talk, and hopefully things that come up in our conversation are things maybe you've been pondering in your heart, or you've been praying about with your friends, or praying to God, like, I'd like an answer to this, or give me direction in this, or push me a little further this way. I will start by saying this is not something I normally do. So those of you chained by fear, right here. I feel you. And I'm stepping out. I finally just said, all right, God, not my will, but your will be done.
Yes.
So now none of you have an excuse.
That's right.
And she's my biggest fan club, so that's the only reason that I'm out here with my stomach fluttering like crazy.
She's doing great, isn't she?
I figure better just be honest about it, right? So, Cece, for someone that's been in the spotlight since 16 years old, how do you stay sharp and able to handle the criticism and the compliments? Because both can lead us astray.
Right. Good question. Well, you know, I've learned that. That took a little time to learn, because when you start out as young as I did, you love people and you want to be loved by people, you know. But you learn very quickly that everybody won't like you all the time. And I think understanding that when God calls you, that God called you and people didn't. It's very important that you know that, you know. And therefore, I understood that if I please God, then I will always be a blessing to people, even if some people don't accept it. You know, we're never responsible, Cindy, for how people respond. It's always just what we do. So I'm only responsible for what I do. And I learned that early on that, you know, you're going to be criticized sometimes, and you learn that a lot of times people criticize you and they don't really mean to hurt you, but it's the way they see it or the way they were taught. I had to learn to love people, and understood that you might not know me now, but if you just watch me, you know, sometimes it takes time for people to see who you are and what you represent and who you are. And some people will go from being your biggest critic to your biggest fan over the years. And then some people just, hey, I just don't like you and I'm never going to like you. And it's like, that's okay too. Because again, as you aim towards pleasing God, then your skin gets tougher. And you're not offended by everything that somebody does against you. You just learn to love them the way God loves them, and you keep going. And I really think God allows that sometimes to make us stronger. So over the time, I've learned it to deal.
I'd maybe equate it to being a referee at a sports event, right? 50% mm-hmm. of the people love you when you make a call, and 50% right. of the people don't love you
right.
when they hate you and they're yelling right. at you when you make a call. Yep. And you just choose, I know that I made the right call. I'm following Jesus.
There
I'm following.
You go.
I have peace.
Great analogy. Yes, I agree.
Okay, so you've been married almost 40 years.
Almost. 39. We're going to make it. 40. It'll be 40.
Tim and I celebrate 27.
Come
is
on.
It November yet? Next month.
27. Awesome. Yes.
So
39 years.
How important has your husband been to your ministry life? And how do you stay together as a team, especially since you're the one that's seen out front?
Great question. That's a heavy question right there.
And just so you know, I woke up in the middle of the night and God gave me these. So these are, that's,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
thanks a lot, Cindy. Thanks for the extra pressure. Okay. Y'all ready? Okay. Go back.
So, how?
God gave her this, so I really want to hear
40
this.
40 okay. years.
40 years.
How important has your husband been to your ministry life?
Okay.
And how do you stay together as a team?
Okay.
Especially because you're out in front.
How
more
important
than him.
Has he been to my ministry life? Okay, there's several answers to that. He's been extremely important to my ministry life. My public ministry and my private ministry. My public ministry, Alvin Love, and for you guys who don't know, my last name is really Love. Oh, I know.
Aww.
I know. I've been stuck with Winans, though, because I kind of became known with that name. But Love, and Alvin has loved me well. He has, for the men out there, he's never been intimidated by who I was because he knew who he was. So that was very important because he's been through it all. You know, I've heard people come up and say, "Hi, Mr. Winans," and I'm like, "No, that's not a good idea. That's not his name." But I saw him deal with it in a very kind way. He understood it. He saw the call on my life before we got married, and me understanding that when I said I do, I remember Pastor Marvin telling me, he said, "Now, if you're getting married," because I got married very young, he said, "You understand that if he tells you that he wants you to be at home, then you need to be at home. You have to stay at home." And I was like, "I do understand that. I understand that my first call is to be a wife." And, but he recognized, Alvin recognized the call that was on my life. And so throughout ministry, he has never, ever hindered me from ministering and going out. He has always been like 200% behind me. Because Cindy, there's no way I could have done what God has allowed me to do over the years without my husband praying for me, covering me, never jealous of the attention that I got, you know? I wouldn't be here without him doing that. Now, on my part, I had to understand that when I'm on the stage being CC Winans, when I come home, I'm Mrs. Love, you know? So women have to understand that we are called to be submitted to our husbands. And I never got that twisted, you understand? I understood that he was the authority over me. And so, you know, and nothing like children when they're growing up to really keep you humble. People be like, "How did you stay humble?" You know, I'm like, you come home and you got on that fancy dress that you always tease me about with the feathers or something, and your kids like throw up on you, right? And it's like, well, y'all don't care that I'm CC Winans at all, do you? So I understood that it was on me to make sure I honored him and that I respected him and that I submitted to him as his wife, and understood that that was my first call. So I'm here today because of his submission to the Lord and his love for me, but also me recognizing my position in marriage no matter what God did in my career. Okay? So that's how he's blessed me in my ministry. And as far as the team, I think we remain the team because we both submit to the Father and we submit to one another. And we understand that if he wins, I win. And if I win, he wins. And two are always better than one. You know, so when the enemy comes in your home and try to pull you apart, which he will, and he definitely tried throughout those 39 years, we understood that because we were submitted to the word of God, he always gave us the answer. And we were always willing to say, "Lord, your will, not mine." I remember one time I was really hurt and I had made up in my mind, you know, I'm getting out of this. Praise God, I love you. I wish you the best. And then somehow we trying to be nice and disobedient to God at the same time. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Cece," and again, one of those times where you didn't really want to hear the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Cece, now what's more important, your feelings or my will?" I'll never forget that. And I was crying at the time. I was like, "Oh God, really? You know your will is most important." So he says, submit to me. And that's what I did. And so it has been the best 39 years. And I mean that. We have a good time. We laugh a lot. And I think laughing is so important. So we laugh a lot. We have a good time. And it's been, I cannot believe we'll be married 40 years next year. So.
You have two children.
Yes.
With Pastor Alvin, who mm-hmm. are married. And now you have three grandchildren.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Any grandparents in the house?
And I know you think that's the best part about having children.
Yes, it is.
But what was the hardest thing about being a parent, and what was the greatest reward? What's the greatest reward for being a parent?
Wow. Are you Barbara Walters or what?
I have 3 months to think of these.
Great question. Okay. What was my greatest reward and what?
Hardest thing.
Hardest challenge. Okay. Well, greatest reward. First of all, I love being a mother. And I was blessed to have an awesome mother. And so I didn't have to wonder how to be a mother. You know what I'm saying? Because I had her and the other mothers in the church that taught you how to be a mom. And so that was awesome. And so you're seeing these beautiful people, and it's like, oh, God, let me train them up and let me, you know, just have a good time with them. You pray over them, and you want the best for them. I think the most challenging time as a mother is when they get to the ages where they just become kind of stupid, you know? they kind of go into those ages. It's like, who are they? Now, what spirit came in here and jumped them? So sin makes you stupid. It's not that teenagers are stupid, because God has a lot of wonderful submitted teenagers to God. And I lived, you know, in the church as a teenager. And so you go through challenges, but you can stay on the straight and narrow. That's not an impossible thing, teenagers. Stay there. But mines were a little challenging. And I remember one time where I had learned about faith, and my son was probably about 16 at the time. I mean, he was in a tunnel, and I'm like, Lord, when is he coming out of this tunnel? And so I was praying over him and praying for him, and, you know, because he had decided he wanted to take another path other than serving God, you know. Always a good kid, but I just knew he was not where he needed to be with the Lord. And so I had learned about faith, right? Because up until that time, I would say good things, and this is real important, ladies, to hear and to catch, no matter what age your children are, if they're young or older. But I learned about faith. I went to this service. I think it was Pastor Darlene Bishop who was preaching. I love her. And she was talking about how she had prayed for her daughter to come back to the Lord. She said she was raised in church, and she was out in California doing everything that she was taught not to do. And she learned to speak in faith and to speak those things that aren't as though they were. And to be able so she stopped speaking what she saw and started speaking. So I went home. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to use this. And I remember looking at my son that day, and we were in a heated conversation about something. And I said, you are a mighty man of God. I said, and every gift you have will be used for the glory of the Lord, you know. And he looked at me, and he said, you don't even believe that yourself. And I was like, he's right, I know. But I kept speaking it. And I kept speaking it. Yes, sholo bahasi. And I kept speaking it. And I kept speaking it. And the God we serve is faithful. And so my son is my pastor today. So the most rewarding is that being a mother is a blessing. It's awesome. It's we have a lot of fun, but you have those challenging moments when you're kids, because you have to begin to trust what you put in them. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't live their lives for them. So it's challenging when you have to let go, and you know the enemy is after them, you know? But then you understand that we serve a God who's faithful to every generation.
How did you navigate besides praying boldly over them when during stages of rebellion, but what other ways that you navigated passing your faith on to them?
Well, I think the number one way is to live it out in front of them. Because we can say things all day long, and if we live a different type of way, then that's no impact. So my main thing was just to live what I preached, you know? And again, them seeing me and Alvin being married and how we go through our troubles and how we're going to, you know, continue to be the couple that we're supposed to be. And so that was the main, I think, the most impactful thing. Even to this day, when I hear them talk and they talk about us, they're able to talk about what they saw, you know? And so that's the main thing. The other thing is you pray for their friends. You pray that God will bring the right people in their lives. You thank God because, again, when my son was still in his rebellion ways, he went to the other side of the world, as you know. He went to Australia. And I was like, Lord, how far can you try to get away from me? And I began to pray. I was like, Lord, bring him home, bring him home, bring my son home in the name of Jesus. And then the first call I got from him, he was just like, Mom, God is real. And I was like, what? He was like, God is real. And I'm saying, well, I did say that all your life, but okay. But God had allowed him to hook up with a friend that took him to a very small church in Melbourne, Australia. And the next call I got, guys, he was like, Mom, I'm prophesying. And I was like, what? So I hung up the phone, and right away my prayer went from, Lord, bring him home, to Lord, he can stay there as long as you want him to stay. He don't ever have to come back. I will go and visit him. But God just changed his life. So practical things, I mean, we were talking about in the back. I would go in their rooms. And yeah, they'd be talking, people would be like, well, that's their privacy. You don't have privacy as long as you live in my house. I go through rooms, going through drawers. I'm like, the devil is a lie. You getting out of here? Oh, no. And then practical things. I remember because both of my kids are very gifted in music and dancing and all of that. Now, writers, that's just what they were born with that. And so as kids, they were in like dance classes and awesome dancers, right? And I went to one of the recitals and I looked at what the girls had on and, I mean, looked like the little girls were like being taught how to be pole dancers almost, right? And so they're little and I sat there and I said, oh, no, y'all coming out of this. And they were like, what? You're gonna make us come out of dance class? I said, you better believe it. This is y'all last recital. And really, they were really mad at me. They were so angry because they didn't understand it. They're too young to understand. I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm here to train you up in the way you should go. So that was a practical thing that I had to do. And I remember years later, because when I tell you they're good dancers, they were good dancers. And most of the people in that class, they went on to dance behind some of the most famous people. But they needed Jesus. They weren't saved. And so a lot of mothers would call me later on and say, man, I see why you took your kids out, you know. And again, no harm to them and the people, but when you understand how you're supposed to train your children, that's not their responsibility. You know what I'm saying? It's my responsibility. So we have to make tough decisions sometimes. They're not going to be popular, but you got to make the decision for the long haul. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't understand it. I wasn't their best friend for a while, but they got over it. And so that's another practical thing. You just have to look out for them. And yeah, and then I fought for our relationship. I fought to be close to my kids. Because they go through stages where they love you and then they don't really want to be around you, you know? And that's just a natural way they do it. But I was like, no, we're going to be best friends. I don't care. I'm going to make you be my best friend. And I fought for that. And because of that, I think we're all pretty close now because of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any practical advice, I guess practical is my word here, but on how to resolve conflict and quarrels in your relationship with your husband and children? Conflict resolution, obviously a very important part of a strong relationship.
Definitely. Conflict and quarrels between in your marriage and in your relationship with your kids. The kids together or you and your kids?
You and your kids or you and your husband? Just conflict resolution. You know, you good at it or not good at it?
You know, Cindy, I want to come up with more intellectual great answers. Like if Ashley was here, my daughter, if she was here today, she would probably say, man, Mom, you always gave the same answer. I said, what did I give you? She said, no matter what I came to you with, you would say, girl, go somewhere and worship. I said, but it worked, didn't it? And I say that because it works for me. You're asking me, right? I'm your guest today, right?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will teach you how to make it through stuff because for me, he always tells me to shut up.
Alvin or God?
Thank the Lord God. Alvin doesn't have to tell me. But you know, we've had conversations or we get into an argument and it doesn't last long because the Holy Spirit convicts you. Because no matter what the conflict is, arguing is never the answer. We never call one another out each other's names. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody get convicted. You know, if it's not me or him, it's like, let me just be quiet. Why this one come off the, you know. So, and then we sit down and we talk about things. I'm trying to come up with an example. Whatever type of issue it could be, and we could disagree, we're going to sit down and talk. And the bottom line is, he's the head, again. So if I don't agree, at least he hears me out. And then I'll just pray, you know, because we're in the boat together. And we as women, we understand we don't want to sink, but he is the head. And when we honor each other in the marriage couple, in the marriage relationship, somehow we get to the other side, you know? So it's in handling whatever your conflict is, everything we do as godly people, there's a way to handle it in a godly way. And I learned that, again, very early on, being raised in the church, understanding that your flesh is your worst enemy, and understanding that whatever I say, I'm responsible to God. So I don't live right for Alvin. I live right for God. You understand what I'm saying? So it's through those times that I've learned that arguing does not get us anywhere. And so it's called sitting down. And one of the things we've adopted over the years is taking out time. Because a lot of times we don't really talk with each other until something is wrong. And I remember we learned from Jimmy Evans. I love their marriage ministry. I remember them telling, if you sit down as a couple daily, whether it's 30 minutes and just talk about the issues, what's happening, then you communicate better. So you learn how to communicate. And I think when you really learn how to communicate and you don't wait till something big in the marriage is wrong, then you can conquer it before you ever get to that place. Does that make sense?
Complete sense.
Okay.
Yes.
And as far as with kids, first of all, I grew up in the era that kids really don't have much to say. And I wasn't as strict in that rule probably as my parents were. There were times where I wish I would have been. But I was like, you know, let me teach them how to express themselves. And you know, so a few times their expression would cross over from, you know, expression to dishonor. And I wasn't having that, you know. So either you're going to honor me or you're going to have to go somewhere else. But both my kids are pretty well, should I say they're pretty calm. So I really haven't had much issue in that area. But again, I think they watched how me and my husband handled conflict. And they kind of adopted that. and hopefully they're using those tools in their marriages now. Yeah.
Your music is not just good, it's anointed. Right?
Praise God.
So, what are some of your favorite ways or places to get quiet time with God to stay anointed? Because there's so many distractions, there's so many things pulling on your time. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite ways?
Well, I think the local church is the main way. And I say that because when you're in the industry like I'm in and you travel a lot, it's real easy to get so into that schedule of what you do that you can lose who you are. And I'm only here doing what I do because of who I am or where God had, and so the local church to me is just so vital in a believer's life. Because how can I continue to pour out when I'm not being poured into? You know? How can I walk in authority if I'm not under authority? When I look over my life, I see how that has kept me centered on who I am more so than what I do. Because who I am, or should I say what I do, is an overflow of who I am. So the anointing comes from my relationship with Jesus. If I never sing on a stage again, the anointing is from the Spirit of God living in me. And I understand that like I didn't get to even that scripture today, but in Proverbs where it says to guard your heart, you have to guard your heart. And so I have guarded my heart. But when you say how, I believe it's the revelation of understanding that I've always had a pastor. I've always had wonderful pastor wives that prayed for me, that covered me. And when I go there, I'm not the celebrity. I'm there and I'm being poured into and I'm serving like everybody else. And so it just keeps you grounded. And God honors those who honor him. So God has honored me all these years because he has blessed me to be able to honor him on a daily basis. So the anointing comes from walking with him daily, keeping him first, and allowing the Holy Spirit to correct the things that need to be corrected. You know? And then I understand that it's not my gift and talent, but it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So before I go out, I'm praying. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm saying, Lord, when I open up my mouth, sing for me. When I open up my mouth, speak for me. And I've seen him do that over the years. Even when sometimes I can be, you know, not feeling well, feeling sick, you know, tired. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, just do it. And sometimes not even having a voice, but the Holy Spirit will show up because he loves his people and he will break chains and bring forth deliverance and do it in such a way that I know that I had nothing to do with except I showed up, you know? So it's just the continuation of nurturing and cultivating my relationship with Jesus.
Well, I know that I mentioned when I looked at all your Believe For It tour dates, mm-hmm. you never had any on Sunday.
That's right.
Because where were you on Sunday?
At church. I was home. Now, through the years, there's sometimes when I have to be gone away because I'm, say if I'm overseas somewhere and the traveling, but I'm online now that I'm online, but those years when you didn't have online, I understood, I always had a boundary of how long I would be gone. And that's for everything. That's for my relationship with the local church. That's my relationship with my husband, my kids, because the industry, they just see you as a person. They give you this calendar and I'm just like, now God didn't want me to go save the world and lose my family. So I can't be gone that long. You know, Or I can't, a lot of times with our careers, we think, oh, you got to do this party and you got, I'm like, no. God didn't call me to party. I'm going to sing and I'm dropping that mic and I'm getting on that flight, right, to get home. So the priorities, my priorities is my relationship with Jesus first and then my family, you understand, and then my career in ministry. So yes, my tour this time was, I said, look, well, this was so I could be at home. So we toured Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday most of the time, or either Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I would get on an early flight because the devil would be like, that's okay. You can sleep in and just get on a 12 o'clock flight. And I'd be like, devil, you a lie. I'm getting on that 6 a.m. flight so I can get home for service. And so that's what I've done. And I've been at home for service on Sunday. Amen.
So there are those of us who might be a little jealous of your singing gift. I'm not mentioning any names. But what part is actual gift, right? Because you're from the Winans family.
Right.
And what part is hard work, perseverance, obedience? I'm kind of leading you, but prayer. Like, what'd you say?
Got it. Well, the natural part, I mean, I was born with a gift to sing. My mom and dad both sang. Actually, they sing better than all of us. But my brothers, so I was raised in church singing. And so I always loved to sing. Now, the natural part, you have to take care of your voice, you know, so... Like, if I'm on tour, then I can't do caffeine. Caffeine dries me out. And I don't care how hard I pray. If I drink caffeine, I'll go to hit a note and it won't really be there. God still loved me, but I had that caffeine, right? So I have to be really disciplined and drink water. I have to get my sleep. So going out on tour, I can't. And I have singers that can do that. They can sing and laugh all night. I can't do that. Or I won't have a voice. So really, when I'm touring, it's a very disciplined time for me. I'm drinking water. I'm getting my sleep. I'm working out. Oh, God, this time I really realized how bad I had to work out. I was like, Cece, you are not 25 anymore. I did that one show. I could barely breathe. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I hit the gym every morning, and I had to work out so I could have the stamina. And I could breathe and I could still hit the notes, you know, because what I used to do as a young person, without thinking about it, that's not the same now, you know. So that's part of it. You have to be really disciplined to take care of what God, you have to be responsible what God gives you. And that's all of us. Whatever gift you have, you have to be a good steward over it. Because we'll blame the devil for things, and it wasn't the devil, it was us. We just didn't do it. So that's a part of it. But the anointing part of, because there's talented people everywhere. There's people who sing way, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Are you kidding me? I grew up with the Clark sisters and you name it. Motown was there. So some of the best singers. So I've never been intimidated by greater singers because I knew that whatever I gave God, he would anoint it and use it. Little things become great when you put them in God's hands. And so, but it's the anointing that breaks yokes. So you have the natural talent, you have the responsibility to take care of the natural talent, to rehearse, you know, I got to remember all these lyrics, you know, and you got to, you know, the older you get too, for me, the challenge of still singing high. And then I realized as an older person, I don't have to sing that high. I turned to the band, I said, you're going to drop those keys, a couple of keys. And the Lord gonna still move. So if you hear the record high and then you hear me on tour a little bit low, yes, I brought the key down. And so you do all of that in the natural. Again, we want to be in a place where when we hit the stage, we've done our part. We've rehearsed. We've been disciplined. Now God can do his part. You know, and so that's what I have to depend on, is knowing that God's going to do his part, but knowing that him doing his part does not excuse me from doing my part. Does that work? Okay.
You traveled for decades, mm-hmm. and then you settled down and planted a church with your husband in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And we know your love for the local church. Now you're back traveling again. Explain some of the differences in there and why you chose those different paths.
Well, I did not choose those hats. I'm still laughing that God calls us the pastor, because I was like, what? I mean, we've been pastoring now for 12 years. And so that means when he called us, we were good and grown. We were like Abraham and Sarah, right? I'm like, God, you got to be kidding. Are you for real? Like, planet, like, what? And so we said, yes, Lord. And when my husband said yes to the Lord to start a church, God told him that night, I think it was the same night, that my son would be the successor. So it was really all about him, you know. But we was like, yes, Lord. And as you know, when you start a church, it's like having a baby. So I came off the road. I believe I was off the road for probably 8 years, just focusing on the church, you know, because, again, God calls us, and very seldom, I think, the call remains the same throughout your life. You have different seasons. The call to serve him never changes, but how that looks changes, you know? So I'm here to serve God. So if you want me to sing, I'll sing. If you want me to serve somewhere else, then that's what I do. And so I knew it was God, because it definitely wasn't us. That was not what we had planned. That's not what we desired. My husband, now I was used to the stage, but my husband was very comfortable with being in the background. So I knew if he called him, I said, oh, Lord, this is a mighty miracle. And I saw God transform my whole family. My daughter was praising God, and I was like, Lord, whatever you want, I say yes to you. And I saw him just transform my whole family into a family of ministry. And so I came off the road, and we just was focused on that church. We weren't trying to announce it. People were like, can I come to your church? We were like, no, because we're still trying to figure out what we're doing. But we just prayed and said, Lord, your will be done. Teach us how to be pastors. Teach us how to pastor your people. Teach us how to love your people. And God did that. He taught us how to do that. And so after 8 years, I felt like I could go back. I could focus on singing a little bit more. And that's what we did. And a lot of people were like, well, how did you come off the road? And what about your career? And I'm just like, God gave me my career, and if he wants to resurrect it, he can. And he did. He did. That year when I came back, my son produced the record for me, and we got 2 Grammys for that year. And so I think the thing is, whatever God is speaking for you to do, just do it. Do what he tells you to do, because he will work out everything else.
Mm-hmm. Do you, well, I know you do, but do you have connect groups at your church? And do you lead one, and why? And of course, that's a lead-in question, because part of why we've gathered all these ladies here is we can't do this every Saturday, as much fun as that would be. Mm-hmm. One, my stomach could not handle it. And two, it took a huge team of people to pull this off to do on a Saturday, so we want to give our thanks to them. But we're trying to encourage ladies here today to join Connect Groups.
Yes.
And just from your viewpoint, since you're an outsider, right, telling mm-hmm. them, so it's not just me now you have her yes. saying the importance of Connect Groups.
Oh, yeah, we have them, and they're so important. And my husband, I've led everything from a women's group to a marriage group and the worship team. I serve on the worship team as well. But we need each other. We need each other. I've had, you know, when I'm encouraging people at our church to start life groups or to be in life groups, you come up with so many different excuses. The enemy come up with so many different things to try to keep us apart. And every one of them that have said yes to it, they have reaped the benefits. There's so many benefits in being connected. The enemy loves to come after people who are isolated, who are by themselves. And when we hook up with one another, we give strength to one another. And that's especially in small churches as well as big churches. It's like you're having a small church and you're sharpening each other. And I've seen the most beautiful thing happen in my life as well as those who are in my life for being a part of the life groups, a leading a life group. And that is the love that happens when someone is sick. People in the life group have been to the hospital before I even hear about it as the pastor. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome, because we're all called to the ministry. Everybody in here, you're called to the ministry, to love on people and to build people. And what I've learned is this, Cindy, the benefits of pouring into people really turns out to you becoming stronger. Whenever I pour out, God always pours in. And for some of us who are sitting back and don't understand the importance of being connected and the importance of what you bring to that group as well, yes, it's going to strengthen you and it's going to bless you, but you got to remember that you have something in you that somebody else needs. You're a very important part to the puzzle, and I think the enemy tricks us into making us think that we're not important. What we have to give is not important, but connecting will strengthen you, but you will strengthen somebody else. And that's the church. That's the church at large. And so being connected is crucial to your growth, and it's crucial to somebody else's. So laughing, having friends. The Bible talks about having friends and the medicine and laughing, but also having somebody.
Oh, you mean
somebody,
like the memes I send you?
Yeah. Yes, your memes. But praying for one another, it's just a beauty, and that's the way God planned it, because it keeps you reminded of who you are. And in times of trouble, you don't want to stand alone. You don't want to stand alone. And you know what? It's hard to build those relationships in the midst of the storm. Build the relationships now. And then let me say this. Whatever your pastor is telling you to do, do it. I know. Let me say this. I know we're living in a time where submission is a bad word. But guys, submission is protection. Submission. I know I am blessed today because I submitted to leadership a long time ago. So don't listen to the lies of the enemy. But just the matter of submitting, because God downloads in them what you need. So connecting is God's idea, but it's also being submitted to the house and understanding that so many blessings, so many benefits comes from being a part of the Connect group. Yeah, it does.
So I have a final request.
Okay.
Can you close out our segment with my favorite song, Goodness of God?
Hey, if everybody sing with me. So, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Everybody ready? Oh, 'cause all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes, he has. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father.
Of the goodness of God.